me at the beginning, relying on other people's wells to quench my thirst. My own myriad ran down. I crouched over other people's supplies, drawing up slowly as droplets fell back down, causing plopping sounds. I watched as the ripples awakened something inside that cool shimmering rim. Can't begin to tell you how it felt after being empty for so long. Wet days. It's about her childhood. It was Monday, everyone at school or not yet born. I remember every square in the pavement. Wet days remind me of Mum wearing a sad face, walking towards the village, determined to fill shopping bags with the beginnings of busy meals for milling children. It was the only time I felt close. Sometimes she'd say something, tell me who lived in which house and how nice they kept their gardens. In days when it rained, all that closeness dissolved in stooped shoulders, the anticipated heavy bags against the rain. When the sun kinder, other women stopped to chat. I didn't like that. They came into our space, mine and Mum's, and cracked pavements. She measured her marriage against other couples who passed in cars or walked side by side, chatting, smiling, swinging bags in unison. Too proud to carry shopping or feelings, my dad, being a farmer, never looked inside the heart. On rainy days, he was in the pub until closing time. At home, he opted for sleep and peaceful, isolated dreams. Mum pulled the scarf around her head. The wind flapped her Macintosh. Her slim legs moved purposely through life. This is about my granny now. Life is on my mother's mother. Life was hard for the country people long ago, but we have it easy now compared to. Crossroads. 1945 was like that, freewheeling to the crossroads. 15 miles later, her own birthplace. Travelling was the best part, the wind at her back, a greeting ahead, news from home, roaming the familiar lanes, sisters continuous chatter, away from the clatter of feeding hungry hens, pigs and cows. She could roam without children for a day, to pause for some rest. A small slip of time away from the chores that shaped her life. No sooner had the Cayley begun, it was time for the door, among promises to write. Satisfied to have rested her tired limbs, she'd set off, cycling up hills, the thrill of her annual visit finished, her spirit slightly diminished, yet younger. She'd relay when she got back to the through letters how when she got back to the crossroads, the first thing she'd hear to spoil her wonder were her pigs squealing with the hunger. Compost. I like all the warm things, the decay, old boats rotting by the side of a lake, metamorphosis at sea, things becoming smaller, swallowed by larger things, wood rotting in a garden. I saw a hedgehog climb out of some, only to be run over by a metal car. His decaying body food for the crows, a life of chewing insects inside a sheltered wood pile gone. A home, those materials that metabolise, the ruins of ships where fish roam among bones, the worn-out tails at Cove, Cork Harbour, where the mighty Titanic sailed, sadly turning cheering crowds to tears, the ageing leather skin of gypsies, weather-worn, wild and free, the lines, the tails, the scars, the fights. I enjoy trodden paths, stone walls where weeds have grown between the cracks, old railway tracks, apples rotting on the ground, my love for old things know no bounds, the things that once were free, that maybe now docked or anchored. It's worn things I hanker after. This poem, Crafters, was inspired by reading here at the open mic 2 years ago. Crafted. Quenched by craft beer and poetry on tap, upstairs in the Long Valley Bar, I fill my jar and ears to the swelling crowd of read out loud. Words randomly chosen, begging to be heard. Poems from the profound to the absurd, those full of meaning or spoken for a laugh. The soft fallen and appealing, stripped back and revealing, as the burst sprout of pen races on, as the audience embrace. Words pouring like sap in a maple forest to the beat of the drum and the rich lush rap. Many gems appearing from the sensual to the dark, making me glad I embarked to Cork Harbour, the McNamara slam, as they fight for first place through powerful sentences of bravado and grit, pleasure, sorcery, wisdom and wit, and plenty of words that rhyme with it. Some inventions outrageous, even blue, the Hayloft mix electric all night through. Valley. A blow-in still from Glasgow, though here since he was 12. He was proud of where he lived in Falcarra's Valley, not far from the station house, where he suffered depression 2 years ago. Hard to believe in a man with a grin as wide as a rainbow, rising from the mist forming above the foot of the mountain. You can meet people and you find out later on they suffer with depression, and it's very hard to believe sometimes because they seem so happy, and he was one of them. Mum and Spuds. A typical visit to my mum's, this is, in Casablanie woman. How are you managing for heat and oil? Do you know that Mrs. Mother died? I hope you like onions with your stuffing. You said in your text that you're on nights next. Heaped on offerings of food. Hot pans make mood for flavour. Television, loud repeated soaps. Water hissing on stove. Potato peelings blocking sink. No time to think. Can I help? I question her red face. No, it's all right, clean the windows instead. But listen, wait until after you're fed. Irish mummies with their spuds and their questions. Another childhood poem, Jumping Streams. I think of childhood jumping streams, a day that began in daydream. I love that mid-air feeling, a sure-footed landing on the other side. Life was like that at 12 years old, bravely challenging, balancing, harvesting wonder. Put me in a class in a uniform of cute chatter, and I fell midstream. I stood there with peers along stuffy corridors in their neat-clipped lives. Out of the whole class, I was always first, out through the door when the bell woke me. Here's one I wrote 2 weeks ago, as it's 2016. I wrote a poem about the poetic souls of the peace fighters of 1916. It seems to be topical at the moment. So. Poetic souls of the peace fighters. The English in power had treated Ireland badly, and their own poor lived in the worst slums in Europe, repressing the best voices of women and men. Michael Collins, who left behind his poetry to gain political power to fight the oppressor, ended up in a grave, faithful till death. His death, like his poems, full of mystery. His bravery has made him immortal. His brothers in arms, the likes of Thomas McDonagh, poured out words of rain, wind and waves in the freedom he craved. He talked of atoms spinning through darkness, the immortal brood. He who'd have avoided revolution and death, if there'd been any reason to hope. Pádraig Piers spoke to his mother through poem, then went out to fight in the rising of 1916, dreaming of nationalism, independence, self-rule, righting the wayfarer before he faced death. My sons were faithful and they fought. He struggled for victory until his last breath. Left the world facing a firing squad, a courageous young son's message passed on to his faithful and devoted mum. Words that must have caught in her throat. As his cultured soul floated among the dead, he had reason to revolt. His own country's rich guilty too. He'd sooner die than live like a slave. Rage, rage against the empire of the rich and against those that work for them. He wasn't the only rebel who used a pen. Joseph Murray Plunkett, plagued through childhood with the torment of tuberculosis, wrote freedom words to ease his way through the world, then to die by the gun for his Emerald Isle, fighting against British repression and lies. My soul is in the salt of the sea, in the weight of the waves, in the bubbles of foam, in the ways of the wind. His writing of memory in 2016 lives on. Plunkett, who died aged 28, fought to resolve repression, struggled for stability, his a sacrifice for freedom, to be shot by British rule during the Empire's cruel hunger for wealth. A conversation I had walking through Dublin recently. Injury. You're dead, whoever you are, he screamed as she hobbled away on crutches. You're fucking dead, he repeated, dragging his tattered, damp sleeping bag behind him. She limped away and from afar turned once more, naming the freezing Dublin man as a scumbag drug addict. The homeless man I felt sorry for. She, a stranger, judging him with passing cruel remarks. His life already dark, a desperate situation. I could only comprehend what her injuring tongue must have said to him before. Her only temporarily on crutches, while this so-called modern-day society held him permanently in its clutches. He raised his fist at her, his voice now cracked and broken. Your dad were the last words I heard spoken. Then he lowered his head. It was then I knew it was him who long ago had died inside. I like to follow the sun around the house. Well, I do live in Monaghan and you don't get much sun, so when we get it, I like to follow it around the house. Sun-kissed. I follow you around the house, absorbing rays and eating sun-kissed toast. When you fail to reach, I find you on the stairs, sipping tea and soaking heat. You drift again to the other side of the house, so I shower in streaks of yellow light. You leave again to bounce off the walls of my hall, and crystal sparkle teas and chandelier my hair. The last time I saw you was in the bedroom where I read. You fall upon my flesh and capture me. Passing sunsets. This is memories of sunsets and football games when I was young. I'm sure you'll all relate to this. Passing sunsets. Evening and there is nothing to tempt me indoors. Warmth from a day spent in the sun. I spin it on my fingertips, pass it to my teammates. Scoring goals win roles of respect, talent swaying to the chance, that tribal-like victory dance. ball of mesmerizing fire, football skills that inspire, cool moves, dipping, diving, thriving in the company, until friends slip away as they are called in one by one. Alone with the crimson sky, the breath I take is sharp like loneliness as the night turns flat. And I always was the last one outside. I was a middle child, so it didn't get noticed. It comes in handy. The last fire for somebody I knew. The last fire. You gathered sticks to bathe the night with fire. You in your element, smiling, watery eyes, happy sighs as you bent. The next day your soul gathered over your cold body to be buried under sticks and clay. There was a lady who loved to gather sticks, it was her favourite pastime. And one day, after gathering sticks as usual, she just died in her armchair beside the fire. What a nice way to go. But she was old, so. The Voyaging Vessel, inspired by Bray, Five More Poems. Bray in County Wicklow. It's a regular haunt of mine and I've read poetry there before, the Bray Art Show. The Voyaging Vessel. Even as the tide subsides, I glide the horizon like a black-backed gull. Waves of awe unleash a various world of words I find deep in the folds of a sail-weathered wind. Freedom, like golden grain in my hand, roaming the currents to fly against the limitless sky. I harbour the salt and the scent from bays of seafaring faces, the sea of pearl possibility, where beneath the rim and the rhythm, coral shells and speckled fish water me with colour. It's inspired by a stranger in The Stranger by Kinsale, Salty Sea. The salt is good for your skin, cleanses you, he says, throwing salty chips to the crows of Kinsale. Ask me if I ever swim naked. I'm from Monaghan, I said, where there is no sea, only salt of the earth people who are furious at having to bathe in fluorinated fluid from the tap. Bad for the bones. And they have a bone to pick about paying for that. Another stranger, Cork stranger. Delivered. I recognised a Dublin accent and asked him had he married someone from Cork. No, but I've just divorced a Dublin woman. I now live near the Tipperary border, where I'm rewarded with dinner daily delivered on my lawn in the form of wild deer who roam in from the mountain. Actually shot one from my window once. Abundant in these parts, though love is scarce. Life could be worse, he said. As he steered his taxi around Cork, I revealed how I preferred venison to pork. Ointment. The soil is too shallow for roots. Hand smell of damp clay, anointment, the solemn somberness of cold weather people whose only joy is paid in daily papers and news at 6 and 9. I sway, but the earth is strong enough to hold me. Finally, words. It was really aggression when it came to it. You burnt anger as fuel and blamed the excess on me. I tried to oil your mood, but it caught fire. I watched the road, willing it to clear like my splitting head, afraid to block ears. Held a barrier that bounced off the steering wheel, the dash, the roof, through windows and gaps. I shuddered, but it didn't stop. It kept rolling and rallying and raging, collapsing my world.